I mean, he says things that are so screwy with the scriptures that, of course, he gets lots of questions regarding those things. The questions aren't fixed. They're fixed in the sense that, like, when you teach, if you teach stuff that's, like, so far off, people are going to be like, well, what are you saying? Anyways, there's plenty of information on my website about all that. Giving heed to what race you are and the genealogy and the pedigree. And looking at the genealogies of the Old Testament, trying to find secrets there. And I've examined them and I realize the things they say they find, it's like they're looking at the clouds and finding bunny rabbits. The things are not there. Like I said, I might go to my website. They have a whole section dedicated to that nonsense. I can never think of more appropriate... The reason I use that man and that ministry is because I can't think of a better example of giving heed to fables and genealogies ministering questions rather than godly edifying. Godly edifying is edification which leads you to godliness. But in that ministry, they don't even believe in really acting, you know, not acting godly, but really obtaining godliness. And even mocks the idea of righteousness. If anyone claims they're righteous, that man's a hypocrite. I don't claim it, but I believe it. Jesus Christ has got to be formed in us. If it's not, then we're not of God. Whoever commits sin is of the devil. Okay? If I'm a sinner, and I'm found a sinner, I'm going to be of the devil. And it's not just, and we can't just claim, oh, you know, imputation. Yeah, there's imputation. But if God imputes righteousness to you, he also brings it indeed, see. He doesn't just impute it. He imputes it and delivers. Impute means to reckon before it actually happens. But he also delivers. God didn't just impute Abraham with Isaac. He actually delivered a baby. Now, the end of the commandment, verse 5, is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside to vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. Hold. Verse 5 says, end of the commandment. I mean, all the commandments of God are summed up in charity, love. Charity is kind of old English, but it means not, we think of charity as like, you know, feed the children, which is love, you know, but it's not just giving things to people like that, though that's included. It's more than that. It is love. Out of a pure heart. How do you have love out of a pure heart? It's not just love, whether you like it or not. No. You know what I mean? It's like, well, that new commandment is love. I mean, I got to love them whether I want to or not. I mean, trying to do that is admirable. Anyone who tries to do something, as Paul, like, read, if you haven't studied Romans 7 with me, you should go study it or remember it now with me. You know, they're trying to do their best under the law. And I have a lot of sympathy. And also, I have much hope for people who are trying their best. And they want to be godly. I think that is, I was like that once. And so I want them to come on to perfection. I don't want them to be stuck in that world where you're always in sin and you can't never get out. Always, you know, you become a servant to sin. If you serve sin, you serve Satan, not Christ. You have to have a pure heart. Purify my heart. Notice we ask God to purify our hearts, because what am I going to do? I'm going to purify my heart. How do you do that? I mean, you know, should I boil it down and get all the impurities out like a smelter? What shall I do to purify my heart? Just will it? There are degrees to which people can do this. And in the movies, they do it all the time, don't they? But in reality, the heart is not pure. The heart is deceitful above all things, it says in the scriptures. I, the Lord, search the reins and the hearts. Christ had a pure heart. So we also must have a pure heart, because we have to be like Christ. That's what the scriptures teach. Like Ephesians say, we've got to come in the unity of the faith, all built up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Because Paul the Apostle wanted to present those people perfect in Christ. That's why he warns and admonishes. A pure heart. That's the end of the commandment. If you have a pure heart and love out of that pure heart, there's no more need for commandments. That's it. Now you've fulfilled all the commandments. And of a good conscience. And a faith unfeigned. You know, because your conscience can become a law in and of itself. Because that's how people without the law will be judged by the law of their conscience. Because they will have excused people. And they will have accused people of one thing or the other. And thereby, they will have violated the law of their conscience in one thing or the other. And they will be judged. We're all worthy of death. God doesn't even really need to do much to... Remember, eternal life is a gift. God doesn't owe it to anybody. It's not like a debt he pays. Well, you put up with my world. Now here's your reward, eternal life, for putting up with my world. What I created. No. God doesn't owe it to anybody. Faith has to be unfeigned. Means sincere. Literally, undissembled, not fake. Sincere faith, sincerely believing. You know, even admitting to doubts can show sincere faith. I know it says if you have faith and doubt, in the, but it says if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you can accomplish much. It doesn't take much faith. I know this because when I received the Holy Ghost, I didn't even believe I was going to get the Holy Ghost necessarily. I had a lot of doubt. People always want to encourage other people to have faith. And I do too. But I want to encourage you in the faith you already have. I don't want to think you to think you need to muster up something more that you haven't been given. Because even faith is a gift from God. You are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself, that is the gift of God. From the book of Ephesians. Faith is a gift. That's why there are a lot of atheists out there. If all men had faith, there wouldn't be any. Some people don't have faith. Some people don't have faith, and then God gives it to them, and their lives are changed. But faith is not something I can necessarily just muster up within myself. Oh, I may feel like I'm doing it. But God is one who musters faith. Now, there's a lot of ministers out there with feigned faith. Fakes. Imposters. And,